Open up, if you would, to the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 6. So as you know, we started the year back in January, started going through Matthew. We kind of went through the first several chapters, and then lately we kind of jumped around a little bit and wasn't sure quite what to call it, but I think it was Christy that cleverly came up. Maybe you could call it like meandering through Matthew or something like that, because we've kind of been in different places throughout the book. More recently, we were not in the book of Matthew. We did a few passages in the book of John during Palm Sunday, Easter, and the couple weeks after. But there's so much in Matthew that we haven't covered yet. And if you've read through the Gospels, and if you haven't, do it. I implore you to open up the Scriptures and just start in the book of Matthew, read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reading all about the life of Christ. And often when we think about the Gospels, we think about the things that Jesus did, you know, the life that he lived out, which is important, and it's the gospel are packed full with the actions that Jesus took. But at the same time, much of the gospels are packed with Jesus's teaching, and Jesus's teaching, what he brought to the people was revolutionary. The people, in their religiosity and among the religious leaders of the day, the elders and the chief priests, just had a lot of things upside down, a lot of things backwards. You know, they knew the law very well, but came down on people. It was very much about your performance as a follower of the one true God, of following the law as closely as possible, and in some ways kind of the idea of earning that love from God and earning that blessing from God. But Jesus came along and turned that all upside down, because he came to fulfill the law. As he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I didn't come to do away with it, but I came to fulfill the law. And he came and fulfilled the law perfectly on our behalf, and introduced some incredible teaching. So I'm going to go back. We're going to be going back over the next few weeks to the Sermon on the Mount. Arguably one of the most famous sermons of all time, Matthew chapters 5-7. We're not going to be going through the entire Sermon on the Mount, but just taking some different excerpts here. And today we're going to be looking at Matthew 6, 19 through 24. We're going to be talking, as maybe you see up on the screen, about storing up. Talking about what Jesus teaches about storing up. But I don't know what you think about when you hear about storing up. And if you haven't noticed, we as Americans, we use up a lot of space, don't we? I mean, if you look at the map of the world, our globe, and you see how big the U.S. is, that's a lot of space right there. And we're a big country, and we like to fill our spaces, right? Fill it with stuff. Of course, we, you know, fill the U.S. with people, but filling it with stuff. Rich and Julie are back with us. They've been traveling mostly all throughout Europe, and I think they would agree with me, but I've done a little travel in Europe, and one thing I observed is that most things are not tiny, but a little smaller than they are here in the U.S. Houses are a little smaller. Cars and trucks are a little bit smaller. Americans kind of like things that are bigger, and we have generally a lot more space. Storage is a big thing in America, isn't it? Did you know that the U.S. self-storage industry has over 50,000 facilities and a total of 2.1 billion square feet of rentable space? That's a lot. That's crazy. So that's to compare that, this is more than 34,000 football stadiums of stuff, of storage. Americans spend around $38 billion per year on self-storage. Obviously, collectively, no one, I don't think anyone's spending that on their own, $38 billion on self, but collectively, $38 billion per year. And so whether that's a wise use of space and a wise use of money, that's not really what I'm getting at today. I'll let you decide that. But what I'd like to talk about today is what Jesus teaches on, a very crucial distinction between storage up on the one hand, earthly treasures, and storing up God's kingdom treasures. Now remember, one of the main themes in the book of Matthew is it's all about God's kingdom. And we often talk about God's upside down kingdom. What does that mean? Well, the kingdom of our world is all about building up a kingdom for who? In our world. Who is it all about? It's all about us. It's all about me. Everything is for our own sake. And this is just general in the world, the kingdom of this world, that your job, your education, your property, your possessions, even your kids are all for you, for your success, for your pleasure, for your enjoyment, the building up of yourself. On the other hand, God's kingdom is everlasting. It is eternal. And what matters most in God's kingdom is not pleasing ourselves or pleasing other people. It's not about the temporary things that we accumulate here on this earth. This life here is just preparing us for life in eternity. And you probably all like, yeah, I know that. But do you really know that? Do you live that way? Because we can lose sight of that so easy. And one thing I've observed, and we sang that song earlier, you know, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Sometimes it's in those lowest valleys and those dark times and hard times in life where we have so much more of that longing and perspective toward eternity. That this world's not my home, and I'm thankful for that. And God, I look forward to that day that I will be with you forever. And we long for that. And we live with that perspective. But then when life's going pretty good, like, hey, things are going pretty smooth. I'm feeling pretty good. It's like we can get pretty comfy here on this earth, and we can very easily lose sight of that eternal perspective. And in these few verses that we're going to look at, Jesus teaches about this very important distinction between storing up treasures on earth and storing up treasures in heaven. So Matthew 6, 19 through 21 to start with, and then we'll look at the few other verses later. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I want to ask you today, which type of treasure, based on what Jesus is saying here, which type of treasure do you want to store up? It's pretty obvious when Jesus puts it this way, that, you know, storing up treasures on earth where what? Moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. When we hear it that way, it's like, no, thank you. We would much rather want to store up treasures in heaven, as Jesus is talking about here. And that sounds appealing, I think, to all of us, storing up treasures in heaven. But what does that actually mean? And what does that look like? What does that mean, treasure in heaven? Well, in Jesus' day, the Jews would have been actually pretty familiar with this phrase, treasure in heaven. And one of the ways that they identified with this type of treasure is that they understood that the deeds of kindness that a person did on earth became his treasure in heaven. That was a common understanding. And that's something I think that we understand well. And sometimes we'll kind of half jokingly say, if someone does something good or something noble, we'll jokingly say, like, well, maybe there will be an extra jewel in your crown in heaven. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. But what we do know is God talks about eternal rewards that we will receive. And so the Jewish people would have understood this phrase, treasure in heaven. Now, there was a famous story among the Jews about an Assyrian king who had eventually become a convert to Judaism, to come to believe in the one true God. And this king, during a time of famine in the land, this king, Assyrian king, imagine this, took all of his treasures and distributed it to the poor. And his contemporaries came along and they criticized him, saying, "Your fathers gathered these treasures and added to those treasures of their fathers, But what have you gone and done? You've gone and dispersed all of yours and theirs. In other words, you've just given it all away. And the king said back to them, my fathers gathered treasures for below. I have gathered treasures for above. They store treasures in a place over which the hand of man can rule. But I have stored treasures in a place over which the hand of man cannot rule. My fathers collected treasures which bear no interest. I have gathered treasures which bear interest. My fathers gathered treasures of money. I have gathered treasures for souls. My fathers have gathered treasures in this world. I gathered treasures for the world to come. What's the difference? The difference is, on the one hand, what lasts, and on the other hand, what doesn't last. And I think we can see this in our life of things that last. isn't it true that generally speaking, we want to buy things or invest in things that last, like things that are high quality and durable? And Ken graciously gave us a subscription to Consumer Reports. What's that all about? It's like comparing the quality of things and how long lasting cars are, other products. And I remember back when Christy and I first got married, we bought some nice bikes with our wedding money. Well, then not too long later, Eben came along as a baby, and we needed a little pull behind trailer. And so we researched all, you know, the best type of bike trailer, and we found it. It was the Chariot. In fact, it's still hanging in our garage today, a little more weathered, a little more used, a little bent. But we went with the Chariot. Couldn't afford to buy a new one, but we found one on Facebook Marketplace, and that thing has lasted. We could probably still, maybe we're getting close to being able to get some money back on that. But anyway, we put time and effort into things that are going to last, right? Something as silly as like the quality of carpet. Furniture, you know, we want sturdy furniture. Belts are kind of hard to come by, like true, genuine leather belts, and then some that are that faux leather that kind of wears out really quick. And so we do that in our earthly goods. So why can it be so hard then to get these same principles straight in God's kingdom? That we would invest our time, our money, our energy, our livelihood for things that matter for eternity. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? It's because of our human sinful nature, that we just want stuff. And maybe you're thinking like, I don't have a problem with this. I'm not a pack rat. I'm not a hoarder. But you know, minimalism, that's like a big thing now, and that's great. Some people love that, but sometimes it's like minimizing so that we can kind of make room for something else. I think we all agree that we want the new and latest stuff. There's a pair of shoes, and then you get that, and then you notice like the latest style. It's like, I didn't see that style. I want to go for that. New vehicles, you're driving around a brand new vehicle, and then you see the next year model, you know, next model come out. And there's just, I think there's something in us that our world just kind of builds into our world system. Of chasing after. These things aren't bad in and of themselves. And in fact, in this same context, if you skip down to verse 24, Jesus addresses the issue here. So the issue isn't so much the stuff. The issue isn't the wealth. The issue isn't the treasure that is here on the earth. Verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay, so that's the heart of it. That last part that he says, you cannot serve both God and money. So what does this mean? Does it mean that, we just give everything away? We give all of our money away. We never buy anything new. We sell it all off, and we live like poor people. And that everything that we do has to be directly something spiritual. Is that what Jesus is saying here? No, that's not what he's teaching. What he's talking about here, really the issue is, who or what rules your life? Who or what rules your life? Can possessions rule your life? Can possessions rule your life? Yes. Can striving for success rule your life? Can a constant pursuit of pleasure and comfort rule your life? Yes. All those things can rule our life, can be a master in our life. And the word here, so where Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money, the word money here is often translated, I think the King James translates it, mammon. Or maybe your version says mammon. What in the world is mammon? You cannot serve both God and mammon. Well, mammon, understanding this biblically, is that it's money and material possessions in general. So money and material possessions, just in the broad sense, with the connotation of selfishness and greed. That's the issue. The connotation of selfishness and greed. So what it is, it's having or holding on to or pursuing possessions and worldly goods or success for selfishness and greedy purposes, for our own personal gain. James talks about this. James chapter 4, 1 through 4, really hits on the same matter, the heart of this matter. It should be here up on the screen. Read along with me. These are just four verses. Let's read this out loud together. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. Strong words. Adulterous people, wow. But in our human heart, we can have at times that love or serving mammon, serving money, where we can get selfish and greedy, and it doesn't go well. And that's what James is talking about. It just causes fights and quarrels among you. Friendship with the world, getting caught up in this life here, is enmity with God. And so what Jesus is talking about, possessions, money, success, pleasure, that's not the problem. Our human hearts are the problem. And so the question really for us to consider is our money our servant to glorify God and help our neighbor? Like, is money serving us and God for what God would have us do? Or have we allowed it to be our master? And do our money and possessions serve us so that we can glorify God in our lives? Or do we serve and bow down to money? And I think we'd all agree that we don't want to bow down to money. We don't want to bow down to possessions and earthly goods that don't last. And so what do we do? Well, first, Jesus says what we don't do. As he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That should be motivation right there to not set our hearts on things here, to not store up these earthly treasures, because the reality of anything material or physical is that it can all be taken from us in an instant. Think of all the people just in these past months, thinking back to November here in Camarillo, and in January in the Palisades and out by Pasadena, and the fires that took those homes in a matter of minutes or hours, that their home there one day, gone the next day. Homes just wiped out. Recently, we were at Christie's parents' ranch deep in the heart of Texas. If you know that song, Stars at Night, are big and bright deep in the heart of Texas. Well, they have a little ranch deep in the heart of Texas, and it's a great place. One thing that's not great about Texas is tornadoes. Now, we did not get caught in a tornado, but they have a tornado shelter out in their yard, like where you open up the thing and climb down the little ladder steps. And the kids, I don't think, have been going in there lately because I guess there's spiders down in there. Nobody really wants to go down in there. But I've been down there a couple times, and just imagine now, I don't think that there's ever actually been a tornado that's, you know, hit down right there, but maybe close. And so they've never had that experience. They've had to go down there several times. But imagine that, of coming out after a tornado. You're protected, but you can't. Just everything's just destroyed. Everything's just wiped out. And that didn't happen to her family. But what did happen was, what year was that, 2000, 2001, their family had just moved out to this ranch, and they were going to be building a house. And in the meantime, they built kind of a barn dominium, I guess is what they call them nowadays, like a barn structure that they lived in, made a living space there temporarily while they were going to be building their new house. So that was their house for a while. And one Sunday, they were at church and got a call. Or somebody came to the church, and their home was on fire. And by the time the volunteer fire department made it out there, they made it out there, everything was burnt almost to the ground. Except, and this is just a beautiful illustration of just worldly possessions versus eternal investment, one thing that was spared was Christy's chalk easel. And many of you know that she's a gospel chalk artist, using large-scale drawings and stories and to tell the gospel, to share Christ. And somehow that was pulled aside. To this day, it remains kind of a mystery. But and one of the things Christy kept, I wish I would have brought it today, but it was a small tin. It was all burnt up. And Christy kept found in the rubble, some pieces of money that were burnt up, just little pieces, some burnt coins and a few other small possessions. It just as a reminder to remember exactly what Jesus is talking about here, that earthly treasures, what happens? Moth, rust, destroy. Fires, destroy. Thieves, break in and steal. Things of earth don't last. So we know what we don't do, but what do we do? We do, as Jesus says, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Yes, that sounds good. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so what do we do? In closing, or the last little bit here, three ways that we can do this. What does this look like for us? Three ways that we store up treasures in heaven. Number one is that we steward our possessions for God's kingdom. Okay, so it doesn't mean that possessions are bad. It doesn't mean that we just do away with these treasures, because we use them. And we're called to steward those possessions, not for ourselves, but for God's kingdom purposes. We all have possessions. We all have material goods. Whether it's expensive stuff or modest stuff, we all have things that God has provided for us that we are called to steward. So in Trail Life, we say in our oath, on my honor, I will do my best to serve God and my country, to respect authority, and what, boys? To be a good steward of creation. To be a good steward of creation, to take care of what God has given us. In stewardship, we, number one, take care of something, but number two, in stewardship, what does it imply? If we're taking care of something, stewarding something, what does that mean? It implies that it's actually ultimately not ours. It's not ours. James again says, every good and perfect gift is from, who knows it? Above. It says in the Psalms that God owns the cattle where? on 1,000 hills. It's all his. It's all a gift that he's given to us to steward and take care of. And so part of what we do as citizens of God's kingdom is that we actually take care of our stuff, that we fix things when they're broken. That's why we're doing the work day on May 23rd. We're going to fix things up. We're going to steward this place that God has given. We're going to steward it. We either have things and use them, or we pass them on or sell them and give them away. And the funny thing, you know, Luther's Attic thrift store, which many of you are familiar with, that benefits our preschool here. Lots of stuff goes to Luther's Attic, but then sometimes it makes its round back here. I think a few things have come back to our house, actually. Ken thought, hey, this is, the Freesteads need this here. But that's, you know, we either use stuff and pass it on, or sell it, get rid of it. Minimize that stuff that we cram into storage. Most of that stuff, what happens, collects dust, right? Moth and rust destroy. But part of stewardship also means that we use possessions for God's kingdom purposes. And again, go back to the property here. When Good Shepherd was, in many ways, saw this as this property as a gift back in 2010. Purchased for $777,000. It's a lot of money, but not for a 3.5-acre property right in the center of Camarillo. It's pretty incredible. It really was a gift, and the church leadership saw, wow, we are given this property. Let's use it for God's purposes. Let's let people come here and hear the gospel, people to come and learn God's word, reaching out in our community, and we need to take care of this place. Workday, May 24th. That's not why I preach this sermon, by the way. We're called to use our homes for God's kingdom purposes. Hospitality, maybe having people over for dinner, and maybe if that's too much, have them over for popcorn. Get some microwave popcorn and just, hey, come over after dinner, hang out on our patio, or just sit down in our living room. We can get to know each other. You don't have to make it hard. Use your home for God's kingdom purposes. If you have extra rooms, how might you use them for God's work? And I have to say, we have Good Shepherd, since I don't know when it first started, but has hosted many, many interns, college age and young adult interns. I was one of them. Jared was one of them. Victor was one of them. He moved up eventually this year. But we all stayed with people. And it was an incredible investment in God's kingdom for us to be able to come here and have free up time, our time, to work here at the church and do ministry in our community. As we know, rent is just crazy expensive here, and it's really hard to make it. And so how is it possible that interns can come and do that? And how is it possible for the church to do that? Well, many have opened up their homes, and it's really cool to see Jared went on to, yeah, he's teaching up at Oaks Christian, doing ministry there, teaching Bible to sixth graders. Sam Yacht is studying to become a pastor right now. And just seeing God at work through those interns over the years, and largely because people opened up their homes, say, hey, this is all for God's purposes. You might think, well, I don't have a fancy place. I don't struggle with wanting wealth, or I don't struggle with storing up treasures on earth, but how are you sharing your stuff? Are you sharing it? Or are you holding it back out of fear that it's going to get used and broken? Kind of a silly thing, but some of you might be familiar with the show Everybody Loves Raymond. Kind of hate to mention it. It's not an endorsement. But I grew up watching that sometimes. And one of the funny things about that show, Marie, the mom and the mother-in-law, super meticulous about her house, and her couch, visibly super old and outdated, but it is covered with that clear plastic and super uncomfortable for people to sit in. So just overprotective about that couch. But I think about that of stewardship. It's like, let it be used. Let it be used for God's purposes, for hospitality. Don't hold on to it so tightly. Number two, invest in people. to grow God's kingdom family. Okay, so we go now from talking about possessions, now talk about people. And this passage doesn't directly talk about people, but part of laying up treasure in heaven is how we invest in people. Precious human beings. Pastor Wade was here a few weeks ago, and one of the things he says probably in every message is a statement talking about people, precious, eternal human souls for whom Christ died. Precious, eternal human souls for whom Christ died. Are there neighbors that you're slowly getting to know or that you're praying for? Youth or young adults that need friendship and community and need to be encouraged in their relationship with the Lord? Tony and Liz have been opening up their home for young adult ministry. A couple years ago, we were like, well, we don't really have many, if any, young adults. And we realized, oh, we do. We have a handful, and that handful has grown so many different connections to young adults that need that community here in Camarillo. Finding people to bless, meeting needs of people. And this is, the early church was known for this, right? If you read Acts chapter 2, you read about how, yes, they met together, they prayed together, they broke bread together and communed together. But then it said, as anyone had need, they gave to each other, just shared those possessions as anyone had need. Early church was known for taking care of the poor, the widows, the orphans, and the helpless people that society didn't take care of. And a story is told of in the days of Emperor Decius, when Christians were being brutally persecuted in the Roman Empire. One time, a Roman authority, or several Roman authorities, broke into the church. And they set out to loot any treasures that they thought that they would find in the church. I don't know what they thought they would find. The Roman prefect came in and demanded of one of the deacons of the church, show me your treasures at once. And the deacon pointed to, in the church, the widows and the orphans who were being fed and the sick that were being nursed, the poor that were having their needs supplied. And this is what that deacon said, pointed and said, these are the treasures of the church. You are all treasures of the church. We together are all treasures of the church. Our grief support group, treasures of the church. Coast to Coast camps, treasures of the church. These precious preschool kids, treasures of the church. Your neighbors, maybe they're not in the church or in the church yet, but they are precious eternal human souls for which we are called to invest for eternity. William Barclay said this, that the church has always believed that what we keep, what we hold on to, we lose, and what we spend, we have. What we spend in generosity, we have. Jesus said something similar, that whoever holds on to his life here on this earth will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, will find life. Finally, number three, develop your perspective to live for God's eternal kingdom. Okay, perspective. What is it all about? It's all about how we see something, a vantage point, a perspective on life, how we see our life, which then becomes how we live our life. And God calls us to have an eternal perspective, how our eyes see the world. Verse 22 through 3, Jesus talks about this with the eyes. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And so what's this saying? It's talking about where we fix our eyes. If we're constantly setting our eyes on the next thing that we're gonna get or the next thing that we're gonna buy, or if all we care about is climbing the ladder to get higher and higher up in our job, or even obsessing over what school we want to get into, or obsessing over what career, you know, in which we're going to make the most money, and or all that matters is just being at the top, being in the top of my class. Where's your heart going to be? If your eyes are fixed on that, where's your heart going to be? It's going to be on the temporary things of this dark world. But our spiritual eyes and our souls are healthy if we're looking to eternity. If we're living with an eternal perspective. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, the boy has already read it, but I'll read it again. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's what we fix our eyes on, is Christ. When we look ahead to that day, to that moment where we will appear with him in glory, and we rejoice today that Jesus Christ, we rejoice in Christ, who stored up treasures in heaven. He stored up treasures in his life here on earth when he was tempted by the enemy, taken to view everything down below, all the kingdoms of the world, and Satan said that all this can be yours if you would just bow down to me. And what did Jesus say? This was in Matthew, if we looked at this a while back. Away from me, Satan. Away from me, Satan. And it was just like a crazy, silly thing for Satan to say. Like, Jesus doesn't just, you know, rule over and reign over the kingdoms of the world, but over all eternity. He wasn't going to fall for that. But he went on to live his life here on earth, investing in eternity, storing up treasures in heaven. And what or who are some of those treasures? Who? You. Me. We are among those treasures. We sing that song, if you sing it on Good Friday, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. To make a wretch his treasure. In closing, 1 Peter 2, 9. It says, but you, speaking to believers, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and then listen to this part, a people for his own possession. Some versions say his own treasured possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what Christ came to do. To see us as treasures, treasures of the kingdom of heaven, whom he longs to be with you and me for all eternity. He came to call us out of darkness into that marvelous light. Let's walk in that light today. As Jesus said, if you back up again, where he says, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So we look to the light. We look to eternity. We invest in the things that last, in the things that matter for eternity, in the strength and the power of Christ as we look to him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. May we walk in that light. May we live in light of eternity. Develop that perspective in us. Develop in us a kingdom mindset. Develop that perspective to live for your eternal kingdom. God, help us to fix our eyes upon you. Help us to offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices, as we read in Romans chapter 12, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.